Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
I'm going to talk about margin this morning. Let me ask you something before we get into this. Quick show of hands. How many of you would say either you've got a child or a grandchild involved in at least one extracurricular activity? How many of you would say you have either a child or a grandchild in more than one extracurricular activity? How many of you, if you'd be honest, would say, I feel like that's all I do right now is my child's extracurricular activity? I get it. I'm there. That's our life right now. Between two boys in band, and then jazz band, choir, baseball practice. I'm telling you. In our house, it seems like dinner time can either be 10 after 4 or 9:45. Those are kind of our options. You know, those are kind of where our dinner time seems to fall a lot. But I think a lot of us, if we'd be honest, we have a lot going on, and sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming. We can feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do here? How am I going to do this? What is this going to look like? And we feel like all of a sudden we're taking on the weight of the world. We've got so much that we're trying to navigate through and work through. And so sometimes when we feel that weight, what ends up happening, and maybe it's just me, but things can slip through the cracks. Anybody else? Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Let me give you an example. Some of you have heard this story, some of you have not, but I need everybody in here to act like you've never heard it. Okay? I'm really, really sensitive, and I need you to make me feel better about me. Okay? But this was several years ago. My dad was having surgery. And so being the good, incredible, loving, faithful, dutiful son that I am. Yeah. Some of you are like, never heard that before. Yeah. So I'm with my dad through the surgery. They finish the surgery. He's in recovery. I'm in recovery again, you know, being that faithful son. Dad's in a good place. So I take off because he's in recovery. And I remember thinking clear as day, I got in the truck and I'm thinking, I've got extra time on my hands. And in my world, that's like, I am supposed to be somewhere. Anybody ever been there? So I thought, well, can't think of what it is. So I go to Starbucks because that's where Jesus can meet you a lot of times. All right. And I get the earbuds in, I get my laptop out, and I start studying for my message. And I'm studying and I'm going, and all of a sudden my phone rang. And when I saw the phone number, I thought, maybe that's where I'm supposed to be. I answered the phone and it was the hospice that I worked for at the time, the unit secretary. She said, hey, are you almost there? I'm sitting there going, almost where? So-and-so family, they're graveside waiting for the funeral. I was like, oh no. Guess what I forgot? A funeral that I was officiating. It's not like they were just waiting on me to show up. They needed me to be the preacher. So I'm like, text me their information. I'm throwing my stuff in my bag and I call and the family answers and I say, I am so sorry. I'm on my way right by my house. My shirt may be wrinkled, but it's not going to matter. I'm on my way. And they're like, the funeral home said, we can't wait. We'll just do it without you. And hung up. And I was like, oh, I felt about that big. And that's probably being generous. I felt horrible. So I get to the hospice house. I walk in and I look at my boss. Her name was Kelly. And I looked at Kelly. I said, I messed up and I messed up big. She said, what'd you do? I said, I forgot a funeral. She goes, you what? Every good boss, you what? I said, I forgot a funeral. And she told me later, she said, you weren't in trouble because I could tell you were beating yourself up more than I could have ever done anything. And I did. I felt horrible. So what I did from that point moving forward is I have actually multi-layered things to keep that from ever happening again. And we one of the ways we do that is Glenda and I and our three kids, we have an app. It's a calendar that is a five-person calendar where we can see what each other is supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you, that's why you'll hear me say, if you talk to me about something in the hallway, email me or call Glenda. Do not, I'm not responsible right now. I will not remember. But that calendar helps those things from happening. And in 24 years of ministry, I've only missed one funeral, and that was it. And Lord willing, that will never, ever, ever happen again. Now, some of you are looking at me like, you are the worst preacher ever. And you know what? For that, you know, 3 days, 3 months maybe, I felt like it. I felt horrible. And I want to talk to us about that this morning because I really feel that we are insanely busy. I read one study that's 20 years old now, put out by ABC News 20 years ago. Everybody say 20 years ago. 20 years ago that they surveyed white-collar workers. 25 million white-collar workers, that's 20.5% of the white-collar workforce at that time, said that they work more than 49 hours in a week. 11 million of them said that they work more than 59 hours in a week. The family's changed. The family has changed. In 1962, 20% of mothers worked outside the home. As of January 2018, more than 70% of mothers work outside the home. Now, I'm going to stop for one moment because I need you to hear everything else I say today. I am not preaching about traditional gender roles in that way. Okay? I'm talking families went from one income to two income. That's all I'm saying. Are we good on that? I don't care if it's the husband, the wife. If you can find a way to make money on the dog, I don't care. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. The household has changed. Everybody's busy. The vast majority of homes within a five-mile radius of this church are two-income homes. Glenda and I, our home is a two-income home. I would imagine the vast majority of you are two-income homes. That's just kind of part of life now. That's just kind of, it's just part of who we are. But with that said, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's easy to feel tired. It's easy to feel, I don't know what direction's next. What do I do next? What's next in my world? And I would simply say what we need is we need margin. We need margin. So what is margin? Simply put, margin is a space between two things. If you look at your Bibles, because I know everybody brought yours today. Okay, and I'm talking about the ones that you could touch, not the ones that you do this, okay? But if you look at the way, if some of you are like, they have those? It's weird. Go to Mardell, they're there. The space between the edge of the print and the edge of the page, that's called the margin, okay? Other areas where you might see margin, they'll show what maybe it's the space between revenue and expenses. It's called the profit margin. The margin of error is the distance between accuracy and estimates. You know how we'll see, they'll talk about this poll shows this and the, you know, the margin of error is 4%, whatever. Those types of things are there. The margin of victory is the distance between the winner and the second place, which being a DFW sports fan, I'm all too familiar with that on the wrong end of that deal. Anyways, lifestyle margin, though, is there too. Lifestyle margin is the space between work and rest, between activity and reprieve. And see, what I think is so neat is that God knew we would need margin. God knew that when he created us, that we would need margin in our lives. See, he created that in us even before sin entered into the world. He put that in us, the need for margin. He made a provision for margin in our lives. He knew, are you ready for this? He knew that we would have a tendency to overcommit. Anybody feel guilty of ever overcommitting? Okay, I'm giving an altar call for liars in a minute. I'm there too. And I'm gonna be honest with you. As this message comes out, there may be one finger going this way. There are three coming back this way. I am not good about this. If I have a 20-minute window, well, bless God, let's get four things in there. And I will. I will find ways to cram it. I will do that. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy. But I want you to understand that we have that tendency. Here's what I mean by God building that in. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If you jump on down to verse 31, it says this, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. Okay, so that's important. How many of you know that when the book of Genesis was written, they did not originally put it in with chapter breaks? So going right out of verse 131, go right into 2. And this is what we see in chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work and the work that he had done in creation. So the first thing I want you to understand this morning is that even Adam, on his first full day of existence, he experienced margin. On his first full day of existence, he experienced margin. He experienced a day of rest. God created Adam on day 6. And I'm going to stop for 1 second, because some of you may be young earth, some of you may be old earth. And what that simply means is some of you may believe that the 6 days of creation were 6 literal 24-hour periods. Some of you may believe that that's a very different time frame. That I do not have time to get into that. But I will say this, however you determine that, if it's a 24-hour period or if it's a longer time period, whatever that looks like in your theology, whatever it was, the first full one that came around, Adam got a day off. Either way, that would be like you getting a new job. You walk in for your first day and the boss says, hey, guess what? I'm going to give you the day off today. How awesome would that be? You walk in and go, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to go see the Avengers. Yeah. Highly recommend it. Anyways, another story. You get this day off. There it is. It's margin. The theological term for margin is Sabbath. It's Sabbath. And God felt like it was such a big deal that he put it in to drive on this. He included it in the Ten Commandments. Do you understand that? This was a big deal. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Zach. He put that in the Ten Commandments. In other words, listen, are you ready for this? He says, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, house, or property. And remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So God felt like Sabbath, God felt like margin was such a big deal, he put it in the top 10. Do you understand that? So which of the 10 is it okay to break? Have no other gods before me. Probably shouldn't do that. Okay? You shall not make an idol for yourself. No, probably shouldn't do that either. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. How many of you know that's kind of a big deal? Right? There's sarcasm in that. That's a very, very big deal. Honor your mother and father. Paul emphasizes this one. Okay, how about you shall not commit murder? Jesus cranked that up a little bit, didn't he? He said, hey, you know what? If you hate your brother, you've already committed the sin of murder. How about you shall not commit adultery? Jesus kind of cranked that one up too, didn't he? He said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. You know, so we see that these are kind of big deals. You shall not steal. It's a good way to get shot. You shall not lie. Don't covet. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So which one is it? Do you realize that this is the only one? The Sabbath is the only one that we're okay with breaking. And not only are we okay with breaking it, we brag about it. You'll never hear somebody, yeah, thou shalt not murder. Man, last week alone, I killed 3 people. Will you hear that? I hope not. Because there's something really wrong. Or you know what? Adultery, I think we know where I'm going there, right? You don't hear that, but you do hear, dude, last week I worked 70 hours a week. I worked like a dog. I've not had a day off in 3 months, man. Look at me. And that's a pride thing. And I will tell you, I fall in that category sometimes. If I'm not careful, it's easy for me to want to be a martyr. I've not had a day off and dot, 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 dot. Look how holy I am. Look how good a pastor I am. I've not had a day off in so long. I've not taken care of myself. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. This is the second version of the New Living Translation. Look what it says. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, No one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that once you were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God has brought you out with his strong and powerful hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. Follow me. Are you ready for this? If you keep the Sabbath principle, if you're intentional to keep the Sabbath principle, you get to live like a son and not like a slave. Woo! I'd probably tweet that one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you will be intentional to protect the Sabbath principle, you get to live like a son and not like a slave. Why? Because a slave never gets a break. But a son does. And if you're struggling with that, can I just speak into that real quick? If some of you have trouble really understanding who you are in Christ as a son or a daughter of the King, there's a book out called From Spiritual Slaveship to Sonship. It is one of the most powerful books I've ever read. It's an incredible, incredible book. It will shift the whole way you see things. But understand this morning, a weekly Sabbath is a birthright of the sons of God. And it's ratified by him who represents humanity. The Sabbath was made for man, and the Son of Man is the Lord of it. And I'm gonna just paraphrase this one. Mark chapter 2, and I'm just going to give you a paraphrase of this. Basically, what we see here is as Jesus and the disciples, they're walking through the field, and the disciples are pulling pieces of grain up, but they're doing it on the Sabbath. And so some of the spiritual leaders, they come to him and say, what are they doing? It's not lawful that they do this. And Jesus draws their attention to the story of David in the Old Testament where they ate the showbread. But all that leads up now into Mark 3, and here's what I want you to see. Mark 3:1, he goes, and again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And as they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him. In other words, they just saw him pull, or the disciples getting food, pulling the grain. They come into the synagogue, and the Pharisees, they see this man with his crippled hand, and they say, Jesus, is it lawful to heal him? Trying to mess with him. And he says, well, what's better? What would be the better thing to do? Which would be better? Should I do good for him or not? And so Jesus looks at him and goes, stretch out that hand. Boom. Stretch out. Why? Because he understood the principle of it. But in Mark, it tells him that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. When we start to walk in the Sabbath principle in our lives, we walk in the blessing of the Lord. And we've got to trust that. We've got to trust that. When we practice the Sabbath, it's an act of obedience and faith. It's a practice. When I put it up here, it's an act of obedience and faith. Here's what I mean. Are you ready for this? Some of you are like, are you just telling us to make sure we come to church? Well, that's a given, but there's more than that. These people were agriculturalists, and here's what I mean by that. They had to not just rest one day a week, but they had to rest one day a week during seed and harvest time as well. Now, I'm going to blow your minds here. I'm not a farmer. And then some of you are like, what? Yeah, I did not ride a tractor here. There's not a tractor in the parking lot. Nothing like that. That's just not me. But what I understand about planting and what I understand about those things is that there is an exact right time to get seed in the ground. If you do it too early, a late frost takes them out. If you do it too late, you may not have enough rain or time to get the harvest healthy. So they had to do it in a very specific time frame, yet they still were told, take a day off. Take that Sabbath day off. And let it be a time of rest. They're real intentional. And here's the thing. When the harvest comes, everybody goes out. They work hard to harvest it. But even in that time of harvest, if the Sabbath falls, they've got to let it sit in the ground. And if it rains, it will ruin the harvest. But they had to trust. Living out the principle of the Sabbath is an act of faith and obedience. It's not easy. It's never easy, but we've got to live that out. But are you ready for this? God believes so heavily and so strongly in the Sabbath principle. He even applies it to the land. Look at this, and I will tell you, it's every 7 years, and I want you to know I'm really I feel like a real senior pastor because I'm about to read from Leviticus, all right? Leviticus chapter 25, verse 3. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruits. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyards. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest and gather the grapes of undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. He's saying, look, every 7 years you're not to work this area of land. You're not to touch this at all. You're to let the land rest. But if you jump ahead a little bit to verse 18, he says this, therefore you shall do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them. And then you will dwell in the land securely. The land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill and dwell in it securely. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? It may be so, if we may not sow or gather our crop, verse 21, I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that you will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop, and you shall eat the old until the ninth year when its crop arrives. Hear me this morning. They did not have the technology that we have. They didn't have the ability to test the soil and all those things. What they understood was if they will let the land rest, it will provide fruit in the right time. And I want you to hear me this morning. Is we understand rotating crops and all those things, but if that had a direct impact on the health of the soil, how much more does applying the Sabbath principle to the soil of our lives apply? That if we'll be intentional to take that time to let the land rest, let that time have that downtime, we can be more effective and be more impactful for the kingdom. We've got to allow our souls to be healthy. Now you'd say, but that's great. I hear that. But I own a business. I'm the only one. Or I own a business, and what about this? And you know what? I am not going to sit here and tell you, well, I understand that this, that will not come out of my mouth. But let me tell you what I will tell you. If God promised Israel, I will give you 3 years worth in year six, or you're good still in year nine, I think that same principle applies in your life. If you will really, truly trust and obey, God will bless it back. He will take care of it in that process. If you'll allow him to command blessings in your life. See, because we see a blessing when we honor the Sabbath and we see it in scripture. Look at this real quick. Isaiah 58:13. If you turn back from your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going on your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And you know what he's telling you? Hey, I got you covered. I've got it. If you'll trust me, I'll bless you. If you'll walk in obedience, I'll take care of you. Whatever's going on, I got you covered. I have got your back. I'll give you a couple of modern examples. Anybody ever heard of the name R.G. Letourneau? Anybody? Yeah, R.G. Letourneau, Letourneau University. Yeah. Okay. R.G. Letourneau, he had a successful business. Okay. He provided a lot of the heavy moving equipment for the Hoover Dam. But back in World War II, there was a lot of pressure on him to keep his factory going 24/7. He chose not to do that. Instead, he shut it down to where he could honor the Lord and his people could honor the Lord. He shut his time down to where they could make sure that that time was priority. He was so much more successful than all the other shops that stayed open 24/7. God took care of him. Let me give you another example, a better example, a more real example. How many of you ever heard of a little place called Chick-fil-A? How many? Yeah, we got applause for Chick-fil-A. You know what? I love that. I love that because you guys are a bunch of foodies. And I find no fault in that. None. All right? I find no fault in that at all. All right? Chick-fil-A, they're closed one day a week. The average store a year does $3.2 million in revenue. That is 30% more than McDonald's that is open 7 days a week. Now, I get it's the Christian chicken versus some really gross burgers. I get that. But there's more than that. There's a principle. There is a principle at work that God honors his people when they honor him. How about Hobby Lobby? That place costs me a lot of money. But Hobby Lobby, they're closed one day a week, and guess what? They took on the Supreme Court. All right? Okay, some of you are like, they did? Google it. Not now. Later. But all of these things are here. All of these different circumstances, all of these different things where when you honor God, God will provide. God will bless. He walks that road ahead of you. He will take care of you, whatever this looks like. Now you may say, you know, Pastor Jeff, I hear that and I understand that, but we live in the New Testament now. We're not under the Old Testament law anymore. So let me explain a couple of things for what this looks like in our lives. Okay, first of all, I'm not saying your Sabbath necessarily needs to be a rigid 24-hour period. Okay, are you with me on that? As a matter of fact, I read a story, or actually I heard a story, and I want to share this with you that kind of helps us understand that. Pastor Kermit Bell, our district missions director and assistant superintendent, he told this story in a meeting that I was in, that he had a college professor. And this college professor was staying with an Orthodox Jewish family. Okay, staying with this Orthodox Jewish family, and he wanted to go somewhere, but it was a Sabbath. And the family looked at him and they said, you can't go that far, because if you follow the sidewalk and walk that far, you're going outside of a Sabbath day journey and you're breaking the Sabbath. He goes, oh. They said, however, if you go out the back door, go across the yard, climb the fence, keep going, and keep climbing, and keep going, and keep climbing, and keep going. Eventually, you'll get where you need to be, and you're within a Sabbath day journey, and it's okay. So he tells the story, no lie, he tells the story that he goes out the back door, climbs the first fence, trucks across the yard, climbs the next fence, trucks across the yard, climbs the next fence, trucks across the yard, and works his way all the way to this location. He said he got there. He said, I was out of breath, I was sweaty, I was tired, but I kept the Sabbath. Now, was that a big deal to him? Probably not. But was that a really big deal to the Orthodox Jewish family that he was staying with? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's kind of a weird way to look at the Sabbath. Another quick example, when we were in Israel a couple years ago, which, pause, side note commercial. We are taking a group to Israel in February of 2019. I think I've already got 3 people on board with me and possibly Glenda. A couple more people and this trip will happen on our end. It is I'm telling you, the scripture explodes in the way you read it. And if you're interested, talk to me. I will talk you through. You can make payments to the church and we'll help with, okay, we will help navigate that. We will not pay any of it. We can't afford to do that. But come to me and let me know. We'd love to take you. It changes the way you see scripture. It was bucket list number one to go. Bucket list number one now is to go back, and I'm not even kidding. So highly recommend Israel. Okay, unpause. When we were in Israel, we were up in Tiberias. We were on the Sea of Galilee. And the hotel we stayed in, we were there on the Sabbath. And one of the elevators is what's called a Shabbat elevator. What that means is it stops at every floor and the door is open so that you don't have to do the work of pushing the button. Now, to a Westerner, that seems kind of extreme, doesn't it? That was part of their beliefs. That's part of the way they do it. And so what I'm telling you is we've got to understand that the Sabbath is really a pretty big deal, but what does it look like for us? How do we do that? Well, let me tell you what the Sabbath is not, okay? Sabbath is not a strict 24-hour period, okay? You don't have to have, you know, prepare all your food ahead of time, and at sundown, everything stopped, no driving, no cooking, or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not at all what it is. I'm also saying that it does not need to be a strict 40-hour work week, okay? Because some of you, I felt like from the word go, you've been offended because you're like, dude, I work more than 40 hours. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying to keep the Sabbath, you keep it at a 40-hour work week. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's not creating this whole list of rigid rules that honestly lead to absurdities and legalism. That's not what I'm saying. But let me tell you what else I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you need to come to church on a Sunday morning and say, I can't serve because it's my Sabbath. Okay? That doesn't work either. That's not what the Sabbath is. What the Sabbath is simply this. The Sabbath is being intentional to set a time to cease from your normal work. Whatever that needs to look like, you find that time. Now, for some of you, I realize, especially if you own a business, it may be one of those things where you say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I work a half day on a Saturday, and then I'm done, and I don't do anything for the next 24 hours, or the next time until I go to church, or whatever that might look like. Finding that place of regular, intentional, making sure that you protect that time. The Sabbath also is a place of trusting the Lord to bless your efforts as you step back from being a workaholic. Some of us, we don't know if we're coming or going because all we do is work, 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 work. The Sabbath also helps you bring balance back into your life so that you can be replenished and restore your priorities. Let me speak into this one for just a minute. I am a dad. I am a husband. And I am a husband and I am a dad before I'm a pastor. Does that make sense? Now, I'm a believer before I'm a husband. You following the difference? My number one priority is my relationship with Jesus. And then being a husband, then being a dad, and then other family, and then being a pastor. I'm not saying you guys are not important. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I am saying that Glenda's more important. And I don't back off of that at all. When we're intentional with protecting our Sabbath, when we work in and we make sure that the Sabbath is protected the way it needs to be, you could take your priorities and line your priorities back up the way they need to be lined up. Let me give you an example. For that, it's getting it into a regular rhythm. That may mean figuring out what that looks like and being strict to it. Let me unpack that. My day off is Friday. My day off is Friday from church. And I, about 2 months ago in a board meeting, I told the guys, I said, I've not been faithful my Sabbath for months. I've not been faithful my Sabbath for months. And I was not a, I've not been faithful to my Sabbath. No, it was a, I've not been faithful to my Sabbath. So starting the Friday of that week, I started turning my phone off on Fridays. We have an on-call phone. One of the three of us is carrying that. So if there's an emergency, I can be got in touch with. But you know what? Every time I turn it on Saturday and I have five or six text messages and multiple voicemails and all kinds of emails, none of them are something that I couldn't have handled till today or tomorrow. Never. But I had to do that because I was worried saying, but I'm their pastor and I love them and I need to be available. And I'm not saying I'm not. But on Friday, you'd have to go the route of the on-call phone to get in touch because then it's an emergency. Does that make sense? So you know what I was able to do? I was able to take my kids to go see a movie. The Avengers. All right. But hear me when I say this. Be intentional to build that time in. And only you really know what that looks like. My wife helps me guard mine because I'm not good about it. And she's protective of that time. Be intentional in that process. Because you know what it really is? The Sabbath is helping you learn to lean in God's ability to take care of your business, take care of your job, take care of whatever else is going on. God's got it. And the Sabbath is saying, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. And I'm going to let it go. And that's hard. So let's talk about a couple of things. And let me just say one thing real quick. Know that as I've preached this message, I've done so in love. I'm not trying to hit you in the mouth. I'm just trying to love you, to protect you. But I am going to say one thing, and you might want to roll your toes up here. You could say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've got this going on, or I've got that. I feel Hebrews 4 makes it very clear that whatever keeps you from honoring your Sabbath is an idol. And it needs to be dealt with. Whatever keeps you from honoring your Sabbath, whatever that looks like. So what do we do? First of all, for you personally, find that rest. Find that time. I've told the staff, I'm off on Fridays. I expect you to be off on Fridays enjoy your time because I work you the rest of the week. I need you to be rested. But it's important to me that they protect their time. Pastor Sterling and Miss Vanessa are going to have a baby in about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 8 weeks. I'm going to keep throwing out numbers till I get it, right? I don't know if you know this, but their lives are going to change. And when their lives change, we all need to be okay with not seeing them for a little while they figure that out. They need that. And I'm going to protect that. Pastor Preston and Miss Morgan are newlyweds. They need that time. Yeah. Glenda and I, we're just old with old kids, but that's all right. It's important that you find in your life too what that rhythm looks like and start to protect that in your life. But I'm going to give you two other challenges. Are you ready for this? The second part is this, for your priorities piece. Remember I said your Sabbath helps you put your priorities in line. I'm going to challenge you to do something. Once a week for the month of May, I don't care if you live alone, I don't care if you're a couple, if you have kids, whatever it looks like in your world, I want you to once a week for this month, when you sit down for dinner as a family, or you sit down to play a game, or whatever you do, I want you to get your phone out long enough to do this, to take a picture and post it, and then I want you to put your phone away. All right? Put your phone away, get rid of your phone at that point. But when you post it, I want you to use two hashtags when you do it. And we'll pop them up on the screen. The first one is simply this, completing people in Christ, because that's who we are and that's what we do. The second one is I want you to simply put hashtag family first. So if you're single, if you're a single mom, if you have a family, if you're a married couple, you're a family if it's just the two of you. Okay, hear me when I say that. Whatever that looks like, take a picture, post it, and do that. Because somebody's going to be like, what's family first? Well, let me tell you what our pastor's doing. Opens the door, you're welcome. Okay, so I want you to do that this month, once a week. If you do it more than that, that's awesome. But when you post it, don't post it on the church page. Post it on your personal page. Because most of us will see that. Post it either on your personal Instagram feed or your personal Facebook page, whatever that might look like. Post that there. Because I think it's real important that we do the family first thing. And then, here's the last one. We are going to experience Sabbath. We're going to experience margin as a church. And I need you to hear me when I explain what this is going to look like. Last summer, we were real intentional in taking our community groups off over the summer. We do that, and that works really, really well for us. Last summer, we took Wednesday nights, with the exception of student ministries, we took Wednesday nights off. And our Wednesday nights came back 4 times bigger than they were before. Okay, and they maintained through this whole school year, they've maintained. So we're going to do that again. We're going to take a summer Sabbath for our Wednesday night ministries. Our last man church and woman church will be June 6th, okay? Student ministries will continue through the summer, but the rest of us, we're going to take a break. And here's why. We're going to let our amazing kids workers have a break to say, you know what, we love you and we value you. What you do is pretty amazing and pretty incredible. But we're going to add to that this year. After speaking with our consultants that were in with us a couple of weeks ago and praying about it, I went to all of our Sunday school teachers and asked them, would you guys like a break? Would this work for you to have a break? And every one of our Sunday school teachers said, yes, I would like a break. I would like to have a moment. So what we have chosen to do is we're going to do the same thing for our Sunday school classes for the summer, with the exception of Chuck and Janet's class. Chuck and Janet's class wants to continue to meet. I don't have a problem in the world with that. They'll continue to meet. The rest of us are going to take the summer off. What we're going to do is we're going to move worship rehearsal to 8:45. We'll move our core prayer time to 9:45. And some of you are like, 45 minutes sleep, but don't get used to it because we'll be back in August. So all of those things are going to happen. And we're going to give the organization a time of Sabbath as well. We drive this church hard. We need to let the church rest a little bit. We need to let the land rest. So we're going to take a break and rest a little bit. We will do big things pushing Wednesday nights back like we did last year. And we will do big things pushing Sunday school back. We're not killing it. So those of you that are worried about that, I'm not killing it, not even close. We're hoping to strengthen it when it comes back. All right? Everybody good on that? Okay, if you show up at 9 o'clock on the 10th of June, you can just pray for the rest of us. All right? So I think that's a real important piece. So what does this look like now as we start to wrap up? Miss Morgan, where are you? Would you come up and start playing for me, please? Let me just say this. How amazing would it be if our church people individually, as well as corporately, learned how to operate in times of rest and times of going, times of rest and times of going, understanding ebbs and flows of life and the seasons and the cycles. We have so many people that travel. We have a lot of things going on. I think our church can be that much more effective if we would take the valuable resources that we have in Marilyn Hanna and in Calvin Hale and our other Sunday school teachers. I shouldn't have started naming names. As soon as I started, I knew I was getting myself in trouble. If we said, you know what, we value you. Take some downtime so you can come back stronger. But how incredible would that be if we all as a church got intentional in that process of really working hard towards doing something pretty special? We can do this together if we will allow God to work in our lives. Amen.